You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Wednesday afternoon. For those of you who follow us on YouTube, we had a new show air on our network about 2 hours ago called The Operator with Rob O'Neill. Today, Rob O'Neill joins us. Thanks for being here, Rob. How are you, buddy?
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. It's good to be getting started with this project. I appreciate the opportunity. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, you too, man. It's a fantastic podcast. A lot of feedback already. Audio show drops tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so make sure to subscribe to Rob's show. What made you want to do a podcast?
It just seemed like it was time to get a platform of my own, kind of selfish reasons, I guess, because on social media, especially with Twitter and things like that, you can only say a few things. And if, God forbid, you don't toe the party line or have any kind of sense of humor, people really can't see or read what's trying to be said. So I thought it would be good to have a platform to talk to other people. Plus, if you know, it's not the media, not left or right. Some of us, actually, a lot of us are sort of in the middle about a lot of different things and are either left or right about something. So I thought it would be a good way to, when I mess up, which happens, or when someone else says something they didn't mean, you can actually hopefully talk about it. Maybe instead of just name calling, you can get some sort of a dialogue or some fun conversations, or with all the ridiculous shit happening in the world, we can talk about that too.
Yeah, whatever, Nazi.
You white supremacist, you piece of shit. You get that all the time, though, on social media. I think for a podcast, at least, it's unedited. So that way, whatever your thoughts and feelings are on something, you don't have to put it in 160 characters.
Yeah, you can get it out there like anything. Like I said, anything with, you know, that you disagree with or agree with, there are, it, you don't need to either be this way or that way. There are potentially sometimes, even for some potentially, you know, shady subjects, you might agree with nine parts, but not all 10 or something like that. And it'll be interesting to hear what people think. And you know, it kind of can be a back and forth. I'm hoping to add social media to this, like take Q&A type shit and see where it goes. I think it can be fun.
Yeah, I do too as well. And if you're out there, we're actually going to play the audio trailer and video trailer for you now. Audio is obviously for the audio listeners, videos, whoever's watching live on YouTube right now. This is Rob O'Neill's trailer for his new podcast called The Operator. Go ahead and play that, Bob.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden.
Where we continue to follow the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden now.
Those are just some of the scenes overnight as thousands of Americans gathered in celebration of Osama bin Laden's death.
Former Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill says he has thought about the mission every day since that May Day in 2011.
From multiple conversations you had with Rob O'Neill over the past year and a half, how'd you get
access? And you described that his head kind of exploded.
Yes.
When you hit him.
I actually hit him three times because I shot him twice when he was standing and once on the ground.
That is the fucking American badass. Go, go, go!
We are not going for fame and we are not going for bravado. We are going for the single mom who dropped her kids off at elementary school on a Tuesday morning, and then 45 minutes later, she jumped to her death out of a skyscraper.
If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
I'm Rob O'Neill, and this is the Operator Podcast.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Obviously, we led with the Bin Laden stuff, because, you know, obviously a lot of people know you as that. The hilarious thing to me was reading some of the comments from your first episode. There are still people out there that don't believe that you were the guy that killed Osama bin Laden. What do you say to those people?
Well, I mean, now I don't care. What's funny was when I said, too, that there are certain things you can and can't agree with. I've seen so much ridiculous shit happen with this government, especially this administration, where part of me is like, well, hell, what if that was someone else standing behind Osama bin Laden? You know, what if, oh, my God, what if the earth is flat? I mean, that scientist the other day who posted a picture of a chorizo saying it was an exploding sun or whatever. It's like, Jesus, what if we've been lied to the whole time? But I mean, again, it's one of those things where I am basically one of three people, one of whom is dead, that saw it happen. That saw, you know, bin Laden probably didn't even see me. He knew something was there. I know he was talking to Amal. There was two of us, two Navy SEALs that went up the stairs at first. Amal was there. A couple kids were there and bin Laden was there. And then we left. I mean, even like Alex Jones said, it didn't happen. It was a fraud and it was all staged. And having said that, with the money he just lost, we never technically got the reward for the bin Laden raid. Just saying, if once they're done with that shit, whatever. But I mean, like, you know, the team went. All of the guys went. That agency team that found him spent their lives trying to find him. The pilots that flew us in, the air crew, we all went knowing that if we got hit with one rocket, we're all dead. We all said goodbye to our kids. We all went on the mission. It really happened. But at this point, you know, someone, you know, handle at buttfucker dot whatever. I don't care if you believe me. It went down. That's how I'm known. And it's almost to the point. Like, I've had people before, they say, you didn't kill bin Laden. It's like, dude, sometimes I wish I didn't. I'm just telling you what happened. For history's sake, that's what happened. But again, that, you know, that was the most famous mission I've been a part of. And when you get past the bullshit and the jokes and whatnot, it was a very cool mission. Very great people were involved. And it was it is what it is. If you don't believe me, I really don't have time to explain it.
Yeah, and I mentioned you a couple weeks ago on the show with D'Anthony here, where I had a gripe about the Apollo mission that went to the moon, because I thought Neil Armstrong was too fucking boring to be the first guy on the moon, and I think it should have been Buzz.
Definitely should have been Buzz.
Totally, because that's the guy you want to ship out to do all the interviews and all the fun stuff. It's Buzz. That's the guy you're going to do blow with, knock back a bottle of whiskey with. Like, that's the guy. And whenever people ask me about you, I say the same thing. I'm like, the beauty of Rob is it's the guy you hoped killed bin Laden who's going to sit down and have some drinks with you, tell you the stories, all the fun stuff. Whereas, you know, Neil Armstrong basically retired to a fucking farm, came out and did one interview, I think for Congress, maybe in the 80s or something. And that was it. And then he just died.
He didn't do much at all. When we, immediately following the raid, and I'm talking on the ground in the house, people were asking each other, who got him? And it would be a whole, well, don't tell anybody, but. And then, you know, when we flew out and were leaving others, we saw SEALs in helicopters on the way out, and they would say, who got him? And I guess when people said, O'Neill got him, or they said Nisro got him, Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill, the most common response was, ah, fuck, we're never going to hear the end of this. So that's kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, like, but then they always say, too, that it was, as far as the moon landing, God bless them, they said that Neil Armstrong, you know, he was a silent professional. And a lot of people are silent professionals. And I know in the military they are, too, that I've read about the silent professionals, that huge military history section of every bookstore I've ever been in. A lot of that.
Yeah, tons of it. And it's the thing. It's like, it's no fun, one. Two, it's not that great for recruiting. Like, you need somebody who's going to be out front and center. It's what I say about Tim Kennedy all the time, too, because he takes a lot of shit on social media. And it's like, hey, dude, you need the cool guys that are willing to go out there and share the fun stories and do all the things.
Tim Kennedy is living proof of keyboard warriors. So, shit that people say to Tim Kennedy. Imagine someone saying that to him in person.
Not a prayer.
Never happened. He's one of the toughest guys out there. And these guys and he handles it with a smile. That's just proof that people think they can get away with anything. Like Mike Tyson was talking about, that the internet's made us way too comfortable with talking shit.
Well,
Tim's one of those guys. He's very colorful, great storyteller, wonderful human being, but he can break your arms off and put them in your pocket for you.
Mike Tyson lit that dude up on the plane and nothing really came of that, because everybody was like, all right.
Yeah, you don't poke the bear.
Yeah, just, you know, it's like watching people this time of year go to Montana on vacation and try to fucking get a selfie with a goddamn bison.
Oh, jeez.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Aren't you from Montana? Is that shit really happen?
It does. There's some fucked up shit in Montana. We're used to that stuff. Like, I mean, grizzly bears are so smart. And a grizzly bear, if you've seen some of those nature channels, those animals aren't like a cat that'll choke you out to death. They hold you down and eat you from the ass up alive. They're not nice. And they've learned that when they hear a gunshot, chances are an elk is down. And they'll go. They'll follow the noise. And hunters have been killed gutting an elk as a bear comes up behind them. But then you get these people from California, for example, that don't want to harm the bear, so they don't carry a gun. They carry an anti-bear bell that's supposed to scare the bear away. And you know what? I mean, that's just telling the bear, "Oh, listen to that sound. It's a dumbass human."
Yeah, that's a dinner bell. Are you fucking kidding me?
Even with the bear spray that works well on people. I've seen people in outdoor stores where they're going to buy it. They're like, "Oh, $20 for bear spray. That's expensive." And the guy will be like, "Well, if you want a free one, just go find a big pile of bear shit. There'll be a bottle of that shit in there."
Yeah.
Just because the bear ate the guy. But like, my biggest thing with Montana is the show Yellowstone. Great show. And I don't give a fuck about politics. I don't care that Kevin Costner wants Liz Cheney to win or whatever. My biggest issue is now every fat dude I grew up with thinks he's ripped.
Oh, yeah. Every single.
You're not all that tough. You used to drive a Prius. You don't have a dually. Come on, dog.
Yeah, we need to bring back like ritualistic male behavior. And I think we need to probably, because things are so fucked up right now, step it up a notch. So your dad teaches you how to shave. When you're a kid, he fucking gives you your first beer when you're like fucking 12 or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, sometime around 15, you get a hooker and then beat them to death.
Sure. Sure.
Or like beat a homeless dude to death if you don't want to get sexist with it.
Yeah. I would go towards the homeless person on that one.
Cause it solves two problems.
Sure does.
Right. The coming of age problem and, you know.
Yeah, and then the homelessness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think it's
solving a lot of problems. Yeah.
Yeah, it's two in the bush on that one. You know, it's two in the bush.
Talking about the tough guy thing and the Mike Tyson thing, I was listening to some old school comedy, like old school, like in the 90s, right around when Tyson went to prison. And I'm not taking credit for the joke, but I heard it yesterday. A comedian talking about and a reporter asked Tyson in prison, were people trying to step up? Were they talking shit? And Tyson responded with, "Well, yeah, they wouldn't tell. You know, I would pull him aside and whisper something to him, and then the problem stopped." And the comedian was like, "What did you whisper to him? Like, I'm going to knock you out, and then I'm going to fuck you till you wake up," something like that.
Yeah.
Which he could do.
He could do. And I did hear, actually, I think 2 days in, somebody did challenge Tyson, and he beat the living piss out of him.
Why wouldn't you think Tyson can still throw haymakers?
I don't know. No idea. I mean, that was in his prime, too. I would challenge him to a fucking spelling contest.
Yeah.
So I'd win that, for sure.
Yeah, he got challenged. I think it was in, if memory serves me correct, it was in Indiana prison, too. So it's not like one of the hard, you're not fighting like gang members and shit in Indiana. Chances are Mike was going to win that one, and he did pretty handily. Now going back to the comments on your podcast here, people are asking if you're going to share the rest of your cool guy stories from your time in the military. Cause you were part of the Captain Phillips raid as well, correct?
Right. Yeah. I was the lead jumper, for the Captain Phillips raid. And I wasn't one of the shooters on that, but, part of the team going over there, not knowing what we were going to do. Cause nobody ever thought of a lifeboat being towed by a Navy destroyer. And, you know, we'd never done it in 28 years. We trained for it, but never thought of that. But I was a part of that one. I was a part of the big team to rescue Marcus Luttrell, the lone survivor, when we shut down Afghanistan to try to find him and the other snipers and go to the crash site at Turbine 3-3. But then the other story, like those stories they got a lot of headlines and they're notable and there's a lot of heroics involved. But I was fortunate to be a part of over 400 combat missions. And then I was been part of missions that were before 9/11. And even everything from goofy ass stories in boot camp up through SEAL Team 2, SEAL Team 4, SEAL Team 6. I'll share all the stories. And I mean, a lot of people are tired of hearing about Bin Laden too. And that's fine with me. I want to share different stories, but it's also relatable to how, you know, the butterfly effect. One decision you make can affect so much more. Because, you know, everyone that's been anywhere has had their first day somewhere and made a decision to something or decided not to ask a question, decided not to go one way, decided to take a chance and ask that girl out. And all of a sudden, you know, whatever. But it's all, I want to get more into relative stuff and talk to people and relate, because it's not even, Just normal dudes doing normal stuff, normal men and women doing normal stuff. And I'm just one of those dudes that happened to be the worst looking Forrest Gump of the Navy type shit. But I want to relate to that. And I want to just talk to people because it's not like a lot of people see social media and see just a person, but they're yelling at their phone. Like there's a real dude with real friends, real family and real experiences that are a lot more common than people think.
Yeah. And plus, you know, you are a great storyteller and your take on pop culture events, political events that are going on in our country. People want to hear from you. You're on Fox News all the time. I think I just saw you on Megyn Kelly the other day.
Yeah. I did Megyn Kelly's show. She's a great interview, too. She's just a total a normal, very cool, smart person. Like I've run into her at O'Hare in Chicago, you know, passing, going on different flights and shit. Normal person, very cool. But just shit like that, too. Just the relativity of there's no reason to look up or down at someone. Most of us are on the level. And it's just, you know, just different shit. Like I joined the Navy on accident. And because I put myself out there, I was able to get in different spots because I know, you know, it's like I it's almost like when your buddies ask you out and they have that thing called Tom's Terrified of Missing Shit. Mm-hmm. Like I gotta, even though it's Tuesday, I gotta go out because I might miss something. I didn't take shore duty in the Navy because what if I miss something? I know guys that missed the Bin Laden raid by like 4 days because they didn't know what it was and they had to get shoulder surgery or they want to take time off and go to training or they had a trip they're running next December. So they need to get out to the West Coast to plan this shit. And I just like, you know what, I gotta, whatever this is, I gotta be a part of it. And I just didn't take a break.
When you said you joined the Navy by accident, I thought maybe you thought you were walking into like a gay nightclub or something. And then you're like, then all of a sudden you're enlisted. You're like, fuck,
man.
This is not what I
was here to get
for.
Some dick, brother. Well, and now I'm in the Navy.
Yeah. Or give.
Yeah, and how that turned out too, weird. No, I went to join the Marine Corps on a whim. And it was like, I'd never been in the office. Walk in a hallway and there's seriously four offices. You got the Army, the Air Force, Marine Corps, and the Navy. And, you know, went to join the Marine Corps. He's not there, literally out to lunch. And turned into the Navy office to ask where the Marine was. And he just talked me into it. And it just, at the time, it seemed like, fuck it. I mean, I'm 19. I'll just go away for 4 years. How bad can it be? What could possibly happen? After Vietnam, we're never going back to war. We did once in Desert Storm. We destroyed people. There's no way anything's going to happen. And, you know, just turned into one thing led to another. And even the reenlistment part, I went to SEAL training after right before learning to swim, made it through day by day. And then I get to SEAL Team 2. And all of a sudden, my enlistment comes up, time to go back home to Montana. But now I realize I can't leave these guys. I got a place in Virginia Beach. I'm with these dudes. We go to Europe, for Christ's sake. I went to Klaipėda, Lithuania, and the dollar is about 20 or 30 times greater than theirs. And there's no dudes because they're still, you know, recovering from the communists killing them all. And it's nothing but women. It's like, wow, I could go back there again, pre-9/11.
Yeah, I heard it really stretches there. Nick Palmisano has got some crazy stories there where it's just like $1, you can buy an entire bottle of vodka in a nightclub or something.
Oh,
like.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the quality that I found was just as good. Like go to a steak restaurant, bring four people, pay for it with a 20 and get change. And I'm talking drinks and steaks and shit.
Yeah, that's probably because their steaks don't have like four separate levels of government regulation before it gets to your plate.
Probably true.
It comes from a family farm. They butcher it and then it gets right on your plate.
Yeah.
Man, well, they tried that communist shit and it turns out nobody likes it.
Yeah. Well,
strange, isn't it?
Guys in charge, though.
We seem to.
Yeah, we seem to over here. Want to get your take on the Trump raid that happened at Mar-a-Lago. I've never seen anything like this. Dan and I did a show about it yesterday. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm actually amazed there are people so deranged with hating Trump that they're trying to justify what happened. This, if Barack Obama's house got raided, I would be outraged that this overreach of government bureaucracy and what we've done with a lot of the law enforcement. This and just because they don't back Trump, they're, you know, people like me say, well, you know, if they can do it to him, they can do it to you. Well, I don't need to worry about it because I don't break the law. That's not the point. The whole point is Donald Trump proved the swamp is real and the swamp has fangs. And if you disagree with them, they're going to fuck you every way they can. You got to figure he's been getting hit from the moment he went down the escalator to those 2 years, to the 4 years in office, to now. And now they're raiding the place to the point where people in the media are celebrating it. And they got people tweeting out, well, that wasn't a raid. Stop calling it a raid.
Yeah. I mean, that was Michael Steele. Michael Steele this morning was like, technically, that's not a raid. They're executing a search warrant.
No, you're not.
Yeah, that's what a raid is.
Yeah. It was a fucking machine gun outside the goddamn house.
There's a dude with a fuck. I mean, I don't even know if the boat was there, but they kept showing the picture of the Coast Guard boat with a fucking 240 Bravo on the front. I don't know if that was there, but it's like, that's a raid, bro. Yeah. If you're bringing, I mean, they have shit that goes to automatic. Not that everyone, God forbid, you try to explain to the left what an assault rifle is. That's an assault rifle. It goes to automatic, technically. And I don't even want to talk about that just now. But you need to be afraid if basically the most popular man. Or most recognized man on the planet can get raided like that. And these people can do nothing. No lawyers, no cameras. Get the fuck out. I mean, if they're corrupt in front of you, the cameras are gone, your lawyers aren't there. What are they planting? And you have nothing. They're going through Melania's a closet. And even if they come up with a smoking gun, God forbid, a laptop where you're doing drugs and shit off a hooker's ass. Oh, that's Hunter and the big guy. They're fine. Hillary Clinton and her 30,000 emails, bleach and a hammer. They're fine. Raid this. It's not a left or right thing. This is how you can vote your way into communism, but you need to shoot your way out. And that's a very scary thing. And people should be concerned, but they're so fucking dumb. They don't realize it.
Yeah. It's like, so the big problem here isn't about, it's not about Trump or Hillary or Obama or that shit. It's about the inconsistency in the application of the law.
Correct.
So this is Russia did this during the Stalin period. The phrase is "Show me the man, and I'll show you the crime."
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when Obama left office, he took 30 million pages, right, of his administration's records to Chicago, and promised to digitize them. Now we're 5 years past that. Not one fucking page has been digitized. The National Archives could put in a request to the FBI, and they could raid Obama's place in Chicago right now under the same predicate that they just used to raid Trump's. For what reason?
Right.
You know what I mean? That is the problem. It's the problem. It's a problem when the executive branch is weaponizing agencies against political opponents. That's, you know, that's how Russia behaves, how China behaves, how Ukraine behaves as well. Right. And now we're doing it too. We have been for a couple of years now. And I guess the real question is, what's going to be the result of that? I mean, typically you see something like this happen, and the reason we have a president is because there's one point of contact. Mm-hmm. If shit goes sideways, we know one motherfucker to go to, like, hey, what the fuck happened? But we don't even know if this guy's alive, to be honest. Now, we've got some footage I sent you, Bob, if you want to cue that up. We talked last week and the week before about the Biden body double thing. And Rob, I sent it to your email as well, if you want to check it out. Right, yeah. Blow this up and play this video. And here's what I want you to pay attention to. This is one of the videos we used to show the difference between the two Bidens. But this is clearly CGI. Watch his teeth and how they disappear and then reappear.
Okay. I haven't seen this, by the way, so I'm watching it live.
I'm seeing it right now.
You see that? You see how his teeth disappear and then reappear right there?
Yeah.
That's not how your mouth moves when you start talking. That's somebody using AI. Look at his lip moving, not in a slow motion upward. This isn't slow-mo. It's not moving in a slow motion upward. It's jumping from one spot to another.
So
this is heavily edited video.
And not only that, but with this technology, this is the same technology they used for deepfakes. I remember when the Tom Cruise video came out initially, that's how they were able to figure it out, that it wasn't Tom Cruise. And then everybody outed the comedian who did it. And he said, oh, it was a deepfake and everything else. It seems strange when we were watching it. And look, I don't want to get too heavy into conspiracies here, but that's certainly what it looks like.
This is a presidential address that he made to the nation while he was allegedly sick. And they use CGI to do that. That's a fucking problem. I don't know if you've ever seen, what's the name of that fucking Christian Bale movie?
Inception?
No.
Machinist?
Machinist?
No, hold on.
I was going Machinist too. What was the magic movie? That was fun.
Oh, Newsies. Is it Newsies?
No, it's definitely not Newsies, you son of a bitch.
Man, you named one of the most famous actors on the planet with a laundry list of movies.
It's called Equilibrium.
I've never seen it.
And it's they live in a it's a post-war society where everybody's on a drug to suppress their emotions.
Uh-huh.
Right? And
I have seen that, yes.
Yeah, so part of it is they have a leader, but the leader has long since died, and they continue to project his image up on everything and use CGI to have him give speeches and tell people what to do and all this stuff.
Sure.
When there's one man that I can vote for or vote against an election, one person, man or woman, who doesn't matter who it is, but if there's one person in each election that I could vote for or against, then we've got a shot. But when it's fucking unelected bureaucrats who are using a fucking puppet, now we're fucked. Now we have to go to fucking war to stop that shit. You know what I mean?
Look at the power the EPA has. Look at the power of the two teachers unions, like the legit power. Look at the power of the CDC. These are all bureaucrats and attorneys that are behind the scenes. And it's not the buck stops here. One shot president thing. And again, I said some stuff about Trump. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a registered independent, and I'm in the middle of it. But for me to see people that blindly defend the bullshit that comes out of their side simply because of groupthink, and if one person, God forbid, says something against not their base but the fringe, they just hit them like hyenas. The wounded hyena in the pack, they're going to eat them, and that's what's scary. The attorneys. What are the some five of the richest counties in the country are right around Washington D.C. Yet that place produces nothing. You know, and this is the issue. I've seen it.
Yeah, it's strange. And since you brought up war, there's been a lot of articles over the last 24 hours about the potential of a civil war, in particular that there were armed supporters of Trump that were going down to Mar-a-Lago. Rob, I've heard, Dan's take on it. Do you think we're there?
I've got some updates on this. So one, if somebody brings up the phrase specifically civil war, between whom and about what?
Right.
Are the first two questions you should ask. Defending the population of a country deciding to defend themselves against the state who wants to monopolize violence and steal all your shit, that's not civil war. That's revolution. There's a very big difference between those two things. I just want to be clear about that.
But it seems like the media is saying right or left, right?
Yeah,
because that's the easiest.
That's because that's what they want it to sound like. But that is completely false. Like anybody that's a reasonable person on the right or the left knows that this is not a right-left issue.
Right. And what are your thoughts on it, Rob?
No, I'm in agreement right there, too. This is such a touchy subject because you get the I suggested after the Uvalde shooting in Texas that maybe there's something we can do as far as the Second Amendment, because you should have every gun you want. There's got to be a way to keep it out of crazy people's hands. I just suggested. And then now seeing what happens, like, well, shit, you can't even negotiate with the government because they're going to keep taking and taking and taking. Yeah. Where are we in the middle? And I think a lot of reasonable Americans would also agree that, there's got to be something. But we've proven once you start giving the government anything, they're going to keep taking it from you. Having said that, the hardcore people that, and you should be, I've never been take your guns, but the people I've been getting hit on social media about the raid at Trump's place. They're like, see what happens when we don't have guns. I'm like, oh, so you're telling me you're going to take on the FBI? Get some, brother. That's not a fucking civil war either. So that there's got to be, but like Dan was saying, most people aren't that crazy. However, we don't have the platforms. The far left media is going to tell you this, and Twitter and Instagram will tell you this, and then the far right people are going to yell at anyone who suggests maybe there can be a way to get, as opposed to getting yelled at from 200 years ago, we can think of something. But we're proving if we start giving them, well, bump stocks, fine, take those. Well, this, take, fuck, you're fucked. And the government's going to keep doing that. So this is not a black and white or let's solve today's shit, but sticking with that fringe of either side of the aisle, I don't think there is, like Dan said, it's not a left or right thing, and it is complicated, but there's, the Civil War thing, the revolution thing. I'm concerned about violence because someone who wants to be left alone is going to get pissed and act up. And, not unfortunately, but a lot of them do know how to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, fuck, speaking of which, like I said, you know, there's armed supporters down in Mar-a-Lago right now. Why does the media want this to happen so much is what I can't figure out. Because, again, I've read numerous articles over the last 24 hours about it. And, you know, pre that, it was probably 2020, right around, you know, right after the election was over, we heard the media pushing this agenda for a civil war. Why do they want it to happen, Dan?
Well, it's bait, right? Like, it's bait because they want people with nothing to lose, fringe people, to do something so they can say, see, all these people are this, right? That's what it is. But liberty-minded folks do themselves and our country a disservice by ignoring it completely, by simply chastising the government with no plan to fix any of this stuff, right? That's not, like, if you just want to have your fucking conservative Twitter or Instagram page so you can sell ads on it and talk shit about how much better Republicans are, then you're a fucking idiot. And you're a piece of shit because you're fucking bilking people out of money and solving none of their problems. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than doing that, as a matter of fact. And the Republicans and conservatives in general right now are really dropping the ball on these issues because I've said it before with the Second Amendment thing. If you just drop out of the conversation anytime it starts and just say that shall not infringe, then Plato says, if you do not take an interest in the affairs of your government, you are doomed to be ruled by fools, right? When you exit that conversation, stomp your feet and walk away like a fucking child, then you've given the leftists, whatever the fuck, all the power they need to shut your shit down. And now you got to fight. You know what I mean? Because you didn't have the fucking temerity or balls to fucking talk.
Yeah.
No, that's a brilliant idea. That was the whole issue I had with the far right, was they just stop at that. That shall not be infringed. I'm like, I get it. I do get it. And then it's such a fine line because, okay, and I don't like someone, you know, the red flag shit. I do like the idea of maybe a guidance counselor saying, hey, this guy's a fucking lunatic. I don't like the idea of your neighbor that hates you for listening to hardcore rap, something like that. There's such a gray area, but, you know, a lunatic fuck, man, I don't have the answer, but the answer is not, I stop here and it fights over.
And just by saying that, by the way, you're going to get, he's anti-2A, fuck Rob O'Neill.
I know. Right? It's the same people on the far left telling me I don't know what a raid is.
Right. But it is bait. This whole thing is bait, and they want one of two results. They want people that are on the edge to get pushed over the edge. And what it does is it creates a new social class of, which is what Hillary Clinton was trying to do. This is what the PSYOP she was trying to do, was by calling people basket of deplorables. She wanted to make it socially taboo to support people who support this thing. Mm-hmm. That's what she wanted to do. And in a PSYOP like this, when you want to fucking dissuade people from a certain type of behavior, you accidentally leak an FBI document calling the Betsy Ross flag a sign of fucking militant violent extremism or whatever.
Don't tread on me.
Or you fucking provoke people until they react and you say, see, these people are violent. And then everybody else who's fucking stupid sitting at home with their thumb up their ass eating Hot Pockets and watching shit on their iPad, they're like, oh man, we can't tolerate that. And people, as they are wont to do, will fucking make, they will look at that as a single group. They'll monolith that group of people and they'll do no further research, no thought, no talking to anybody about maybe we shouldn't give the government all this power, because look at every government in the history of the fucking world and what they did with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's not one proof of concept of a government where we just give them power and they do the right thing. Not once ever.
No.
Not once. So what the fuck are we even talking about here?
There's never been an example of a problem coming up, the government making an agency to fix it, and then all of a sudden saying, oh, fix, disband that part. No, they keep going. We are still taking our shoes off because of Richard fucking Reed, the idiot who lit himself on fire thinking he had a bomb in his shoes. That was December. It was over Christmas in Detroit in 2001.
Yep.
Didn't even work. And now my grandma's taking her fucking shoes off. Still, because the government, and they know they get the funding. There's no money in a cure. But I'll tell you what, man, you can keep getting booster shots from fucking Pfizer and they're laughing their asses off.
Yeah,
and back to the shoe thing, it wasn't just the shoes. It went to the liquids after that. That's when you got the 4-ounce liquid rule as well.
Like, I wish we could fucking find some way to make this clear, how difficult it is to, one, get your hands on, but also build and then detonate a binary fucking explosive. Get the fuck out of here. That binary explosive, two chemicals or liquids are mixed together and then it becomes an explosive, or mm-hmm. it explodes on contact. Sorry, but these dudes can't do it. Like, we've been fighting them for 20 plus years now. They're pretty clever, but that one, I'm sorry, that's not happening, dude. And it's just not fucking happening. They're not going to... It's not like the fucking movie. I think these guys watch too many goddamn movies.
Oh, they do. They're the people that think if you even shoot a pistol in an airplane, the entire thing's going to explode. You're all going to get sucked out of a hole this big. Not going to happen. It's going to suck for a minute.
Until something flies into the hole and stops it.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be a little person, you know? Maybe. Just a little person.
I've seen jump masters in the Air Force do that shit where they'll have the plane pressurize, then depressurize it before opening the ramps to see how we react, just to fuck with us. You're going to be okay. Or maybe they fucked up. Maybe they tried to join the Marine Corps and got sucked into the Air Force. I don't know.
It's true, yeah. But the point of all this is that nobody's coming to fucking save your problems. It's not, or solve your problems. It's not going to be Trump. It's not going to be Ron DeSantis. It's not going to be anybody in the left either. It's not going to any. None of these motherfuckers are coming to solve your problems. Our problems have been created by us through our incompetence and our complacency from the ground up. And the only way that they're going to get solved is by action from the ground up, like taking an active interest in your fucking local community, being a fucking parent, things like that. Otherwise, we're fucked. I mean, there's nothing. You're not going to vote your way out of any of this shit.
Well, even when you get back to the core of the family thing, like there's parts of the government, the media that want to destroy the family. And that's what it all comes down to. Ross and I were just talking about pitching at a baseball game and just shit like that, where, you know, I'm just hanging out with my kids just now. And it's fun to just, you know, shoot the shit and see a sense of humor. But, you know, teaching, there's a right and wrong. And there is just some, like, you don't, you know, I've been to, I don't know, 70 countries or some shit. And you're not born hating. You only know what you're taught. And if people are taught the wrong shit, like if you're raising a kid to think that the police are evil, they're going to hate the police when they grow up. That's it. If you're raising people to think one way of this group is evil, they're going to grow up to be evil. But you know, a baby isn't born hating another baby.
No, and it's we should give some pause, some thought to how we are like starting to realign ourselves with Saudi Arabia. Right, because 83% of the primary education facilities there are what are called madrasas, mm-hmm. and they teach death to America. It's Wahhabist Islam bullshit. 83% of their primary education facilities teach death to America. And now, I mean, Trump's taking their money, Cam Smith's taking their money, fucking Phil Mickelson's taking their money. These people are pieces of shit. What the fuck are you doing, man? I don't get it. Like, it's... Don't tell me anything about your fucking patriotism or how you're a good person or you're ethical or any of that shit when you're dealing with Saudi fucking Arabia.
15 and 19 hijackers were Wahhabists from Saudi Arabia on 9/11. If you want to know what Wahhabists think, and I'm not talking these are evil people taught to be evil. If we ever get the whatever 6.5 to 9 minute video and audio of what happened to Khashoggi with that bone saw, you'll know what the fuck these people do.
Oh, bro, I heard the audio.
I don't even want to, but I kind of want to, but I don't want. I have enough nightmares as it is.
Oof. The guy tells, it was like with a 22-year-old apprentice to kill. He was like, hey, put on some headphones and turn up music. It'll help drown out the screams. Mm. And then it begins from there. So,
by the way,
they probably didn't start at the karate, did they?
No,
he didn't really spell it out in the audio, but you got to give him some props on his mentorship.
You don't go to that amount of trouble to kill somebody quickly.
No. The reason everyone's so nice to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is because they have a whole bunch of fucking oil. That's it.
And money.
But not more than us.
Money.
But they don't have the EPA either, because if they had the EPA, the Saudis would fucking put them under the bone.
They just kill them, yeah. And by the way,
you know how many beheadings they've had? Look at I think that this year is a record number of public beheadings. Now,
130,
I'm not saying, well, you know, far left or far right, but I'll tell you what, that'll get some fucking people in line.
Yeah. They've had 130 public beheadings since the beginning of the year. 50.
Have you ever seen that shit? Executioner's like a dude with a one-arm backhand with that saber.
Yeah, he's pretty good with it, to be honest. That's, he doesn't have like,
I mean, as far as ways to go, yeah, I've heard that's a decent way to go.
It used to be a fucking like a reinforced heavy broadsword because it would chop through even if you fucked up. But now this guy just happens to be a pro.
He's legit.
Yeah, he was walking around like Sinbad. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, he had the pants on and everything.
You gonna carry that around? Like, does that like his badge and shit? Like around town?
It's got to be, right. It has to be.
Because I know, because a lot of those. I mean, not that you know, there's anything. You know, they don't contradict themselves, but they do go. I've run into them over in Manama, Bahrain, in bars. You know, having some cocktails in their full dress whites, whatever they call them. And these dudes are like, oh, it's okay. Allah's eyes do not look upon Bahrain. I'm like, of course, well, you know, God's all knowing, but why would he see Bahrain? We can have some couple fucking Manhattans, baby. But I'm wondering, does he get to wear it? Like, because they frown on, like, they have the no, you know, gun-free zones, but how are sabers? Are you good with that?
I think sabers is all right. You know, if you're cruising around with a saber, as long as it's in a saber holster, I don't think you can just have the blade out. It's got to be something.
Is it an assault saber, or is it just a, you know?
Yeah, he's got a fucking EOTech on there. That'd be funny.
With the Mar-a-Lago stuff, I remember you telling me a story that you had dinner with Trump. Was it down there? Was it at the White House?
No, it was at the White House.
Okay.
And I actually got to see firsthand some of the Swamp Secret Service guys at the gate fucking with Trump through me, because they pretended they couldn't spell O'Neill, and they said that my social was wrong. And it took me an extra 20, 25 minutes just to get in for a private dinner. So I'm like, the president is literally waiting on me, my wife and me. And it's like, fuck it. First of all, I don't care who the president is. It's the president in the White House. He doesn't wait on you, but he did. And he even admitted that, the secret, they fuck with me all the time, you know. And that was Trump being Trump. Hey, talk about a dude being a dude, too. When he asked me if I wanted to see the Lincoln bedroom. And it was one of those things where after dinner, we went up and he made no big deal out of it. And I'm standing in the Lincoln bedroom looking at the handwritten Gettysburg Address signed by Lincoln, looking out the south lawn, the window to the south lawn, having an out-of-body experience, and hearing the president behind me go, you know, O'Neill, not everybody gets to see this unless, of course, you donate to the Clinton Foundation.
No fucking way.
That's funny.
You can't stop for, you can't let me have this 5 seconds.
That's hilarious.
I want to walk in there.
Did you get to fuck in there?
Yeah, I want to walk in there with a black light. Just
Everybody fucks in the Lincoln bedrooms. Did you get to fuck in there?
No, we were only there for a few minutes, which isn't saying anything about me. I could have knocked it out, but it was, we just went and saw it. And then like he said he had to go to, because we're on the second floor of the White House, which is where the first family lives. It's the residence. And he's going to go. And he's like, I got to go talk to Melania. She's pissed about something or whatever, which is kind of cool just to hear. And he looked at the Secret Service guy and goes, hey, take O'Neill down to the basement. Show him where those limeys started that fire in 1812. And I'm like, I don't think we say limeys, whatever. Let's go see.
Just a fucking bro, right? Just a bro.
That's just funny. That's not presidential, but whatever.
Hey, Rob, you've got a podcast now, so you know the rules. You know we got some sponsors that put this shit wagon on the air. Take some lessons, Rob, because this is what you're going to have to do once a week is read your advertisers. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off everything in the entire store. The heat has not subsided across the country. You need cooling pillows and a cooling mattress. Ghostbed has the advanced technology and the best cooling pillows and mattresses in the business. And right now you can get them for 30% off with the promo code Drinking Bros. Fill up your cart all the way to the top. You can get sheets, pillows, mattresses, adjustable bases, the weighted blankets, the cover, whatever your heart desires, you can get it at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout for 30% off. Now let's say you want 40% off. You got to get the bundle package. It's the adjustable base and the mattress combined together for one fun sexual evening of magic. There comes with a remote control. USB ports are on the side of the adjustable base. They got flashlights. It's amazing. Once you have it, you'll never go back again. I can promise you that. And then last but not least in there, we got the old 3D Matrix mattress delivered by Keanu Reeves himself. It's got three layers of cooling in that piece. I just missed it. I just missed the damn thing from coming out. I bought my bed and then it came out 6 months later and I don't have it because my bed's amazing. And I'm like, well, there's no need to upgrade right now. So if you're out there and you're thinking about getting a mattress, Get the 3D Matrix mattress first. It's 50% off, and it's the best one they make. It just wasn't around when I was doing my deals. And yes, I use my own promo code at checkout. Speaking of checkout, there's a 60-month pay-as-you-go program there. No interest. So if you check that box, they're going to just see if you have decent credit. And then you can add all the deals that I just mentioned to that and walk out of there with a brand new bedroom set for around $25 a month at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Next up, we got bubsnaturals.com. Choosing the name Bubs for the brand came easily to Sean and his business partner, TJ, as the brand stands for Improving Overall Health and Wellness. And Glenn, Bub was his nickname and call sign, was always on a mission to find the fountain of youth. He loved adventure and loved living a healthy lifestyle. That's why they came up with this company. Bubs Naturals is a tribute to former Navy SEAL Glenn Bub Doherty, a hero who laid down his life saving Americans in Benghazi. His call sign was Bub, and the Glenn Bub Doherty Foundation gets 10% every time you order something from bubsnaturals.com. And on Veterans Day, they give 100% of the proceeds to the foundation as well. It is a great company that makes the best collagen on the planet. It is a protein. It goes right in your coffee. Great substitute for creamer. They also make MCT oil powder, which is some of the best. If you're not using this stuff, well, chances are you look old in real life. This is going to help revitalize you, make your skin look young, make you feel more healthy, take away some of that stress throughout the day. Don't go to GNC anymore. Go to bubsnaturals.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off at checkout. I love their apple vinegar gummies. Have two of those every single morning to start with as well. I start my day every single morning when I wake up with bubsnaturals.com. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 20% off. Last but not least, we got hardafseltzer.com. We are live in Tennessee in 70 stores. 70 locations in Tennessee. Go to hardafseltzer.com, find the store locator, and find one nearest you. Because a lot of people are like, hey, man, I'm in Kentucky. I'm close. Is it close to Kentucky? Yes. Go to Clarksville. Boom. Just cross the border right there. And there's a few stores in Clarksville. You can just load up. There's stores in Knoxville. There's stores in Memphis. So if you're in Little Rock, Arkansas, and you're like, hey, dude, shit, I just want to hop over the border and grab them for regular price, hop over there, go to Memphis and grab some. Chattanooga, if you're in North Georgia, quick drive up to Chattanooga. I've made it many, many times. We are littered all throughout Chattanooga, Murfreesboro, Nashville, Memphis. You name it, we are there right now in Tennessee. And all of the proceeds when you buy online, you know, because we ship to 41 states, go directly into opening up new states. And we have a new state opening up in about 3 to 4 weeks. In the meantime, these OG flavors aren't going to last much longer, probably 30 days left on these. So go to hardafseltzer.com, get the peach, the blue raspberry, the lemon lime, and the old strawberry shortcake, because we got the new flavors coming in. No carbs, no sugars, no gluten, if you give a shit about that. But they're 8%, so they're all the goddamn fun. And we only ship by the case, so you can have the whole neighborhood buzzing their fucking asses off on hardafseltzer.com. Yeah, who cares? Who cares with that? Now, today, the top story is the New York Attorney General asked Trump to give a deposition, and he said he was going to plead the fifth today. This is Letitia James. That's a big deal right now on Twitter, and everybody's like, oh, he said he would never plead the fifth. But then this video surfaced today, Rob, which we're going to play right now, of Letitia James from a couple years ago. This will go back to your point at the top of the show where it, literally everyone is after this guy at this point. I wouldn't talk to fucking anybody right now. And I find it odd that both of these coincided with each other, a separate raid in Mar-a-Lago and then a separate lawsuit, I guess, in New York. Bob, Hot Bob, can you play that for us here on the screen?
I've always been seeing the people who say, oh, I'm not going to bother to register to vote because my voice doesn't make a difference, or I'm just one person.
I say one name, Donald Trump. That should motivate you. Get off your ass and vote.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the ass. He's going to know my name personally.
I love it. He probably does already.
He built his wealth off the backs of New Yorkers.
We need to focus on Donald Trump and his abuses. We need to follow his money. We need to find out where he's laundered money. All of those transactions have happened here in New York City. Tell this president and every other individual that no one is above the law.
I say the bottom line is that residents from Brooklyn who are going to really make the difference are energized. Individuals from the city are energized. Individuals who care about statewide issues are energized. Individuals who care about, again, going after Donald Trump, this illegitimate governor, president. Emoluments Clause, and that basically all that he stands for is in violation of our values and who we are as a people and as a society. And so individuals who care about this country and who care about our rights and who care about, again, immigrants who are hiding right now, we've got to make some noise. We've got to let our voices know. And Trump being me is someone who's going to take the fight to White House at the same time representing the interests of New York. Her name is Letitia James, the next president.
So you can cut it there. This is actually your attorney general there in New York, Rob. You live in New York. What do you think of Letitia James and this never-ending pursuit of Donald Trump? New York's got plenty of fucking problems. I used to live there, and I love the city itself. But there's a lot of things you could do with your time other than this right now. This all seems coordinated.
I don't have a doubt that it's coordinated. And I mean, New York is great. New Yorkers are awesome. Like, people say New Yorkers are rude. I don't think they're rude. I think they tell you the truth, and people don't like to hear the truth. But stuff like this is coordinated. The Mar-a-Lago thing, the stuff here, they just hate him so much. I mean, everything from, you know, it's so obvious that the border in Texas is so wide open, yet you've got, the governor of Texas sending people on buses to New York, and all of a sudden Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, is now we're going to bus New Yorkers down. It's like this political bullshit of grandstanding and whatnot, just for personal power and whatever. The AG of New York's doing the same shit, and it's all because it is party first. Actually, it's hate and destroy Donald Trump first. It's party second, personal power third. I mean, you look at what they, you know, all they talk about is like the vote with Senator Manchin because party leadership, blah blah fucking blah. You work for the Americans. This party shit, and since the country's inception, they were talking about a two-party system well before the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, the first Republican, was there. They recognized a two-party system would not end, but would turn into something shitty like it is right now. So up there, the AG is doing the same shit, trying to whatever, to the point where Donald Trump is admitting that I once asked, why are you pleading the fifth if you have nothing to hide? Now he's realizing they're going to twist and spin everything that I say, true or not, doesn't matter. And he's talking about now not just his presidency, not his legacy, which most presidents care about, but now his business stuff, his family, his friends, anyone who says anything about him. And he knows they'll spin it. And he knows right now, shutting the fuck up is all he can pretty much do. I mean, even to the point, I mean, look at his family. So look at Eric Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Ivanka. I know Donald Trump Jr. well, and the guy's smart as shit. He knows more about ballistics than I do, and I was a sniper just based on the level he takes stuff. Ivanka's classy business person. Eric runs the show, and they try to make him sound like they're something they're not. It's just it's a complete full on assault from everyone on the left trying to kill whatever Donald Trump has. I was watching a movie today with my daughters made a couple years ago called The Other Guys, which is a great comedy, funny as shit, dancing on Highsmith. And at the very beginning scene, which is hilarious, they jumped the car through a bus into Trump Tower. Yeah. You think for a second a movie would be made with Trump Tower in it right now? Those dudes, we're talking The Rock and Samuel Jackson, would be blackballed for suggesting that. Like that's the level they're at of hatred for. I still don't know why.
Yeah, I don't either. They were talking about editing that scene out of Home Alone as well, that he was in. I don't really get it, because to me, the bigger threat seems to be Ron DeSantis right now, if you're the left.
It was until the left is so in their own bubble, they fucked up not realizing how this would bring a lot of not just conservatives, but middle of the road, even Democrats, definitely independents, and the far right, forget about it. And DeSantis might as well just wait another 4 years.
Yeah, because the odd thing is with, you know, Biden finally getting something passed over the weekend and then the CHIPS Act on Monday, then you, because he knew, and we'll get to that in a second, but bury it? Why bury your biggest bill?
He might not know. He was briefed on it. He might not remember.
I don't even know if he knows he's president, but after a couple big wins in a row, why do this now? And now nobody even remembers that. Nobody's even talking about it. It's all about the Trump raid, Trump raid, Trump raid, to the point where last night they had to release a statement where he said, I learned about it via the media, just like everybody else in America. Do you think that's even plausible that the president of the United States didn't know about a raid on the former president of the United States?
That's wrong on so many levels. The top two that I'm thinking of right now is if, as the president, you didn't know about the number one story in the world, you're either stupid or you're incompetent. Which one is it?
Yeah,
that's it. You didn't tell. You mean to tell me? Or a third is the fangs of the far left are so bad they don't even give a fuck about telling you. So it's something in there, right?
No, I think it's probably the latter of those. We discussed this yesterday. Everybody seems to think that the FBI becomes politicized when the left is in power. No, they fucking were politicized when Obama was a lame duck, and their investigation into Trump about this Russia collusion hoax that we all know was fucking bullshit now persisted well into his own presidency. So I don't think the FBI specifically is a completely lost organization and needs to be dissolved entirely. It doesn't change from, it's not like when Trump was president that a bunch of fucking leftists started getting investigated by the FBI. That didn't happen. When George W. Bush was president, they weren't investigating people using the FBI. It's the FBI that's doing it. Right. And it's only going in one direction, in the same way that social media only goes in one fucking direction.
So do you run off that, Dan, if you're a candidate on the right for this upcoming election? Do you run off of abolish the FBI?
I run on abolish the FBI, abolish the IRS. Yes.
OK.
Yep.
And then for you, Rob, I follow you on Twitter, obviously. You had a lot to say about the 87,000 IRS agents that were hired. And I know it appeared as if they were a bunch of bots going after you.
They are.
Comments.
And you know what sucks about that, too, is I use Twitter basically for my own personal enjoyment. And the fucked up thing is there's so many bots. I can't even, and I'm pretty jovial, I can't even read the comments anymore because it's just not fun. It's just mean. But the point I was making, and everyone, you know, the far left bots are saying, I pay my taxes, so I don't worry. It's like, that's not the point. There's not 87,000 billionaires in the United States. They didn't enable these fuckers to go after the billionaires. They're coming after you. And this extra, how many billions of dollars did their budget go up? That's to enhance the software to come after you. And they're saying, well, you know, I pay my taxes, so I'm not worried. Guess what? I'm in a different tax bracket than a lot of these people yelling. I fucking know what my fair share is, and it sucks, and it's going to go up. When you start cutting at least a check a quarter to the fucking government, when I had employees working for me that would bitch about the rich and their fair share, I would make certain employees sign the checks for me, write the numbers out. You know, how many figures per quarter we're sending to the government for fucking nothing? Because you give the government money, we raise our taxes, they get more money. Guess what? You don't get money back every April. They're fucking it all up. And that's all this. And all they're going to do is they're going to come after the small business owner. And that's everybody. Anyone that does anything that you don't consider a small business, you better have your fucking paperwork right. I mean, the first thing I learned, some of the best advice I ever got when I got out of the Navy, as soon as I got out, was get a good attorney and always pay your taxes. And that's true. I mean, it fucking sucks. And I have a team of CPAs, and I basically get audited every month by myself, just because eventually they're going to come. And guess what? They're going to come for everybody. 87,000. Think about how big the Rose Bowl is.
Yeah.
How many people are in that fucking stadium? Give them each a badge and a goddamn clipboard.
I mean, it's exactly what it is.
That is.
I've been to the Rose Bowl numerous times. You can fill it up with IRS agents. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much fun anymore. Yeah. Take the beer away and fill it with IRS dorks.
We need to start addressing the or what portion of this conversation, I think. Right. So, if a man walked into your home and demanded your money under threat of violence, there's a specific way that you would handle that interaction, right? You'd shoot him in his fucking face. But if a bunch of old dudes in Washington vote to pay a third party to come into your home and take your money under threat of imprisonment and violence, then you just take it? I don't think so, brother. Every great revolution in history started just because of shit like this.
They're not coming to your home, though, anymore. They're doing it from an office, and they're getting offices in these cities. So I just went through an audit right now. The guy was located here in Austin. They've got offices for him. He was at the office and everything else. And back to your point, Rob, with the CPAs, I have a CPA. The problem is, when you do get an audit, you got to pay the CPA more money to take care of the fucking audit.
You're paying the CPAs regardless. Get used to that shit.
God, and then
you're paying the CPAs to fight with. It's like the whole thing where when a CPA sends you an email, they charge you by the quarter of an hour. I don't give a shit if the email's one sentence. That's 15 minutes worth of work he or she is doing. And chances are you're getting three different CPAs sending you the same fucking question. But when the thing like the Dan saying is interesting, because if someone comes at you with violence and you are prepared for it, and I don't just mean you know how to plink paper at a fucking range. If you're prepared to handle it, will you handle it? And is it coming? Because I don't think like a lot of these people that yell at me from the right, they're not rolling up in a couple Humvees with fucking Kevlar. The way this will happen, they're going to come up with a multicultural group of guys in suits and a clipboard, and they will say, and you've seen it already, how many guns are in the house? Can we see them? And you can say yes or no. If you say no, they will simply mark you non-compliant. And then guess what? Everything gets frozen. So your credit cards don't work. The money doesn't mean shit. And you can't get into your banking account. That's how this war is going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. So that's why I'm saying we need to start analyzing the for what portion of the what portion of the conversation. Like what currently the state is pushing towards wanting to have a monopoly on violence, and the state should never have a monopoly on violence. It's why the Second Amendment exists in the first place.
Very true. That's a good point.
So the state also can't have a monopoly on finance. It's why, the Ninth and Tenth Amendment exists. It's why the Fourth Amendment against them seizing your property for no reason exists. We have to have a really uncomfortable conversation about what we're going to allow our government to do and what price we're willing to pay to stop them from doing the shit they're doing right now. And a lot of people are going to opt out of that. A lot of people are going to stay home because they're afraid. They're going to stay home because they don't want to get involved in this, because it's easier just to accept and be compliant than it is to take a stand and maybe lose everything you have. But you know what? I came into this world with nothing, man. I don't give a fuck about any of this shit. Somebody at some point has to stand up and say no. Or otherwise this American experiment is fucking over. It's over if somebody doesn't stop this shit right now.
Yeah. And for me, the biggest fear is most of this is digital. So your money is digital, your property, everything else, like, you're attached to digital deeds and it went to a lawyer and there's a record of it everywhere you go. I don't know how to do it unless you're trying to get somebody to pay you in all cash for everything you do, but then you've got to pay other people.
You can use cryptocurrency and offload your wallet into a physical location. And then when they come to the physical location to try to get my wallet, now it's a fair fight because they can't fight like I can fight.
But the problem is, like, even with crypto, there's still you can still trace it. You can still go over everything.
I'm not trying to make it untraceable. What I'm saying is I can take my money out of the wallet and put it on, or out of the market and put it on a digital wallet and put it in a safe, and I can stand in front of that safe with a fucking gun.
Sure.
That's the big one too, because the answer used to be, well, it's all about the vote, but now the vote, how much does it really matter? We talk about communists and stuff, and I got shit for quoting, I want to say it was Lenin, who said, it's not the person who votes that counts, it's the person who counts the votes. And so are we in a spot where it's like the votes don't even matter? It's like all of a sudden people are winning elections at 3 a.m. because no one's paying attention. At what point, and how do we shrink the, it's never, we're going to get rid of this. It's always, well, we need more bureaucracy to deal with the bureaucracy. So, got to be some, but at what point, when they own the education system, which they do, when they own Hollywood and the media, which they do, and it's not, not everybody is far left, but a lot of the people behind the scenes that are pulling the fucking strings are complete leftists and socialists. And I don't know why. It's got to be because of personal power. Again, it comes back to that. People love the idea of power. You think Nancy Pelosi gives a fuck about her district?
No, she just said that China is one of the freest countries in the world.
Yeah. Well, to her, it is. They're making her hundreds of millions of dollars.
I know. She's getting rich off of it. By the way, there's some breaking news here. So, like, as this story continues to unfold, they said there was one informant who specifically gave the feds the location of where these files were and what was on them, allegedly. The White House is still sticking to their story that they had no idea and that they had zero cooperation with it, and they were seeking to avoid any media circus. Good luck with that, because that's certainly what all of this has turned into right now. And then a lot of outlets are just saying, you know, basically that this handed Trump a lifeline at this point, because people were on the other side of this or starting to get to the other side of it and starting to consider DeSantis and everything else. And then you're right before midterms. You're 3 months right before midterms.
It definitely is a boon to some degree for Trump. But it's unfortunate that that's the case, because it's not what it should be. It should be a warning to everybody out there. Right.
Yeah.
That has some dissenting opinion and you just want to live your life and be left alone, that they're not going to let you. You know what I mean? Like if this is the playground, the bully is following you now while you're trying to walk away. Now you got to turn around and fucking fight. Otherwise, you're going to get your ass clobbered. And, you know, I'm not saying don't vote. What I'm saying is, and I'm not even saying don't be a Democrat or Republican or whatever the fuck you want to be. Do whatever you want with any of that bullshit. But what I'm telling you is to stop idolizing human beings.
Yes. Yes.
We are meant to temporarily afford these people power to execute on our American ideals, but we've turned it into a popularity contest and we're fucking getting the results back from that right now. And the results are we're fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you can't count on any of these people. People keep tagging or putting hashtag red wave in comments that I'm making about this stuff. Like, go fuck yourself with that red wave bullshit. They're not coming to fucking save you. They're coming to scrape with the rest of the fucking remaining money. That's what they're fucking doing.
All they're going to do is get on the TV with their sleeves rolled up and brag about the strongly worded letter they just wrote. Go fuck yourself too.
Yeah. Like, give me a fucking break until there's a critical mass of people in the Republican Congress and Senate who are talking about getting rid of the FBI and getting rid of the IRS, then shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear about your brave fucking story about how you're fucking fighting for the American people. Shut your fucking mouth.
No, every politician in Washington is fighting over the same thing, and that's another term.
Exactly. By the way, more of this just keeps coming out. There was a rumor yesterday that the judge was Trump appointed. That is not true. He's actually, according to Vice, take it for what it's worth, they said he has been doxed and was actually a contributor to Obama, donated $2,000 to the Obama campaign when he was running, and then Jeb Bush.
Well, that's not doxed. You can look that shit up on opensecrets.org.
No. His address has been released to...
That's stupid. Don't be a fucking piece of shit and go to somebody's house. By the way, I don't care how objectionable you are, but this is the problem.
I agree.
These institutions are all being fucking leveraged against you right now, and you have to make it painful for them to do that. Now, Occupy Wall Street did it in 2012. They withdrew. They led a very small digital protest and withdrew $65 billion from Bank of America in a weekend. Right? Mm-hmm. Fucked them up big time. Maybe it's time for all of you to go out to, unless you're in a fucking local credit union, and take every fucking last dime you have out of the bank. You know what I mean? Just do that. We'll pick a weekend sometime soon. We'll start a fucking trend and we'll all take all of our money out of the bank and just, you know, hang on to it for a couple of days and see what happens.
Remove the cash.
How about that? How about hashtag we see what happens when we make it hurt for those fucking cunts and see what they're willing to do for us instead of being, you know, when private industry coordinates with the government to fuck people over, that's the literal definition of fascism. I don't want to hear all this shit about how Republicans are fucking Nazis. Like, you're doing it right fucking now. You're leveraging banks and you're leveraging social media to fuck people over. That's fascism. It's the literal definition of fascism. God damn it, man.
Yeah, it's frustrating too. They get throwing these hashtag words like fascism, shit like that, and Nazi too, for the love of God, at least for the respect of the people who were brutally murdered, have some, you know, throwing Nazi, like everyone's a Nazi now, you're either a Nazi or whatever, all that bullshit. But I have a theory on a lot of this shit, and it goes back to even like the Liz Cheney in Wyoming thing and the January 6th thing. You got to figure, there's been a Bush or a Clinton in major office since like
1988.
George Bush was
1980.
George,
yeah.
George Bush was a vice president for 8 years, president for four. Clinton was for 8 years. And then George W. Bush.
Prescott and Bush then, was in the Senate in the.
The families go back forever. And then Hillary Clinton was supposed to be the president, but Barack Obama came out of nowhere, so they're going to let him fly. And then, you know, here comes Donald Trump out of nowhere. So the Bushes have a lot of reason to be pissed. The Cheneys were going to get Kush jobs. Donald Trump completely embarrassed Jeb Bush and exposed him for the fucking tool he is. And it's just like that. There's a lot of this shit from that, not even the left or right or they're the right, but like that's the whole swampy bullshit thing.
Yeah, I don't know how to turn it around, to be honest with you. At this point, it feels like the train has fucking left the station.
Well, I just told you.
No, I understand that, but trying to organize 330 million people to do it is pretty goddamn difficult when we can't even get them to all vote. I mean, even in the last election, what was it, 81 million for Biden, 75 million for Trump? Where was half the other country, like half the rest of the country, I guess, in that? If you can't get people to participate in simple things like voting or whatever else, I don't know how you get 330 million people to do the same thing.
You don't need 330 million people to do it. You need like 500,000 people, maybe.
We need a good platform and a few Kardashians. We got this shit.
I believe in Kris Jenner, dude. The devil works hard, but she works harder. I'm all in on Kris Jenner. Get it, dude.
Yeah, I tell you what. Yeah, I would take in a foxhole in a fight. She'd be in my top five.
100%. Wanted to ask you about the killing in number two out there, ISIS wise. Any inside info on that? Because, you know, obviously you're the guy that everybody goes to when something like this breaks. I was talking to you and you were in an airport and you were like, oh, shit, my flight just got delayed. Weird coincidence.
that was the Zawahiri thing in Kabul.
Yeah.
He was I take, you know, my hat's off to the men and women from the agency that found him, because they're dealing with wokeness on a different level. As far as find, fix, and finish, like they're talk about, like I when I was getting out, I knew some guys from like the Near East and the CIA that were saying they got to get out because they're not worried about spying. They're worried about which pronouns and shit. So they had a pattern of life, and I'm hearing it was back since March or April of this year, and they're watching them. They're saying this pattern of life, and we're so obsessed with killing people in the nicest possible way that they're reporting that he's saying his prayers on this balcony. At this building in this major upscale, as far as Kabul goes, Haqqani run neighborhood right near the embassies that we used to have and all that shit. And they were able to hit. And again, this is another political decision. They could have killed him basically any time. But, you know, with Joe Biden needing a win, that was a good time. And I don't give a fuck about politics. Everything's got politics. That's a great call to kill him. But it was impressive with the missile they used. They shot it was a missile based on a Hellfire, which originally was an anti-tank weapon fired from an Apache gunship. But they've modified it to there's some minimal explosives involved, but basically it like launches razor blades and cuts it to 10,000 pieces or some crazy shit like that. They were saying that they've used it before, like in Yemen, and they can take out the passenger of a car without hurting the driver or some crazy shit like that.
Really?
They used one on God, who the fuck was it? It was right after Soleimani got killed in Iraq. But they used one and it had, it's almost like a fucking dagger, like fangs come out of this thing and stick.
Yeah, that's
what
it is. Same one. Yeah. The ninja bombs.
There's no ordnance on it.
No shit.
Like I don't know if it's air pressure or spring release, but it like these knives pop out basically. And just
it's something badass. Like it's like, I talk shit about big time government contractors, but as far as the scientists and shit and engineers who designed this bad boy, that's fucking cool.
Yeah. I'm not convinced that it was actually him, to be honest. Like,
who knows?
It seemed like the reports I heard in 2020 that he was killed seemed pretty legit back then. This seems legit as well. There's no way to tell, to be honest. I mean, like, they're not going to tell you the truth.
No, and the media is pretty much gone. We only do what the Taliban tells us that we're going to do. And who knows with this shit? Because like he was living comfortably in, I think, Quetta, Pakistan for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And like they're saying, well, this proves that there's Al-Qaeda and Taliban in that part of the world. It's like, have you been to Karachi? There's fucking Al-Qaeda and Taliban everywhere. Like, it's not new.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, could it be a body double? Fuck, I don't know. I killed Bin Laden from 2 feet away, and it might not have been him. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think Zawahiri was already dead because he wasn't. He certainly wasn't active anymore.
He was never active, really, though. He I think he was a little pissed because he was sort of a mentor to Bin Laden, and he was a surgeon. And Bin Laden kind of like you can't kill anyone in Al-Qaeda without bin Laden's name being brought up. Mm-hmm. So he might have been a little butthurt. I mean, mm-hmm. from, you know, his organization butthurt for more than one reason. But, you know, he seemed a little pissy about that. But I mean, I don't know. They, you know, they are running in and out of Kabul. And when they say nice neighborhood in Kabul,
A nice neighborhood in Kabul, yeah.
This is the smallest herpy on my ass.
I've been buying rental properties there recently.
So. Yeah, Airbnb like, one, actually.
The dollar's going under, so I'm getting into Kabul real estate. Yeah.
the way they found him is the same way that they found bin Laden, basically. So they identified a support element that was sophisticated enough and spending enough money and had enough resources, generally speaking, that it was somebody high level. So okay. They knew that, right?
Uh-huh.
This has been going on for a couple of years, though. Why didn't we clip him when we were in Afghanistan in the fucking first place?
Or, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, on the way out, we could have just fucking popped this dude in the head.
And to piggyback off that, why not release photos to the world that's like, all right, great. So we killed bin Laden. We killed this guy.
I don't know. I wish they would.
Because then it would be, all right, end of story. That's it. Everybody could examine it. And that's kind of it. Unless, you know, we live in an age where we just don't believe anything anymore.
Well, and that's part of it. But I mean, when even like, so we got the pictures that we took, like I got pictures with my gloves pushing bin Laden's head together. That's a picture we have. But we also, you know, when we carried the little, some guys had iPhones too, I think, but even back in Bagram. So we brought him to JBAD, then up to Bagram. And I watched a three letter agency dude, like as they're doing the DNA with a professional camera. Like they have pictures, and I've heard from high ranking members of Congress that these pictures are in like a file cabinet at CIA, like not even under lock and key. And, you know, they always have some stupid excuses why they didn't release them or why they even with the body. Well, people now are like, were you there when the body was thrown off the ship? And I'm like, well, no. Well, how do you know it's not a big thing of formaldehyde? I'm like, I don't.
What That's are they going to do? Fucking yeah. freeze his head like Ted Williams and bring it back later?
I don't know.
I think
know.
You should.
Even how misinformed a lot of high-ranking officials were, well, we don't want to bury him because it'll be a site. If you understood how the Wahhabist version of Islam works, they're not allowed to worship anything else other than Allah. That's why you can't draw a picture of Muhammad, because that's worshiping, idolizing a false prophet. So they wouldn't, you know. And I personally think they shouldn't have torn that fucking house down. They should have, like, you should be able to walk into it like a haunted house. That would, you know, get a little coin on the back end.
Yeah, somebody owned that house. That'd have been nice for tourism, at least.
Yeah.
And then they could walk you through it and say, hey, here's where it happened and all the fun stuff, you know.
Because
there was some people that lived in that house, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of them. The people that found him, the woman that found bin Laden was 100% right on like 21 people in there.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive. That.
That's amazing.
Speaking of that, though, this has nothing to do with it. The woman who played Maya, Jessica Chastain, in Zero Dark Thirty, phenomenal performance, by the way. Everyone was up in arms about the picture she just took with Zelensky in Ukraine. You know what freaked me out about that?
What's that?
She's 5'4", and he's her same height. That's creepy.
No shit.
He's a teensy little fella. He's a little guy.
I know, but I need my people that are stealing money on the back end to at least be a tall dude or something.
Mm. Yeah, you want some height and weight too. Well, I agree with that.
Putin's only 5'7", so it's
is he really?
Yeah,
fucking hey, dude. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So you're ruining my dreams.
It's a very disappointing part of the world.
Yeah, he's got tall energy.
But what do you expect from people who fucking eat cold soup for dinner? I mean, like, fuck off.
In the pictures, is he just riding small horses?
I guess, yeah.
Me? What if he's riding Shetland ponies and we don't know it? What are we going to say, Bob?
That's just what happens when you're breastfed by, like, street dogs.
Yeah.
Street dogs.
On a
and
cold
then,
street, you know?
Yeah, like the wealthier people, or at least the people who are from the Urals and shit, get breastfed by bears, which is you grow strong, bigger. So, see, that's the solution to our bear problem, is do whatever the fuck the Russians did to domesticate bears.
Mm-hmm.
And then bring that over. You see it all the time. They fucking hang out with them.
There's a lot of Russian circus bear accidents. There's a lot. That video, you want to go down that rabbit hole, you'll never leave.
I'm not worried about that. That's not my problem. I just want to get them here, and then, you know, once I make my money, I'm done.
Sure. Absolutely. I want to ask you about some of these assassination attempts that have been happening, and what you guys kind of knew about any of this stuff back in the day, or what's going to happen in the future, because I feel, and Dan and I have been talking about this on the show for a while, that I think it's only a matter of time before either social media or the media itself amps this up to a level where somebody high level is going to get picked off. Today's was John Bolton. The U.S. Justice Department charges an Iranian with trying to assassinate John Bolton.
Why? They don't like mustaches? What's the fucking problem with
John? He was part of the Soleimani.
Yeah, he was part of Soleimani. Gotcha. Okay.
So Soleimani was part of the 83 Beirut bombing. Like, how much fucking are we going to really track this shit back 40 fucking years?
Yeah.
I can't hold a grudge that long.
Texas fans do. They track their national championship back 20 years.
That's true. Yeah. Texas fans are shit.
Yeah. You know what they say? The difference between Marty McFly and a Chicago Bears fan is eventually Marty McFly stops going back to 1985.
Boom. Look at that, dude. We're football season is here too.
And by the way,
I don't have a team though. This is bullshit. I was a Redskins fan my entire life.
Well, you can't say that anymore, Rob. You just got canceled. They're the Commanders now.
I think you can still say it.
Not to me, because as far as someone on Twitter put it best when he said, I don't really care because it's not like Art Monk or Joe Theismann is walking through the room. Those are the Redskins. These guys can be whatever they want.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. And another,
how do we go from assassination attempts to football?
Well, I think they want to assassinate Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins. That's why guy.
The NFL definitely wants him.
My God, they want that guy
gone. I don't understand why all the other owners. I mean, I guess they don't want to set a precedent. Because the owners can vote to tell a guy he's got to leave.
But yes.
They probably don't want to set that precedent. Because no. Dan Snyder, I mean, he's done some dumb shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He filmed a bunch of cheerleaders, right?
The NBA did.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The NBA did it with Donald Sterling, but they didn't have a choice. Like, that was... That audio got leaked first, and then they had to react afterwards.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as if the commissioner got a hold of that audio first. That came out on TMZ. Homegirl leaked that to TMZ first.
Well, he left it on a voicemail, right?
Yeah. He left numerous voicemails.
Yeah, though I mean, I don't want to touch it, but that dude was saying some pretty shady shit.
Yeah, Donald Sterling was his name, and he's no longer in the NBA anymore. I don't even, is he alive still? That guy was old as shit.
Yeah, guys like that live forever.
Right?
Yeah, he's for sure alive.
Yeah, when you're that rich, dude, you just keep living.
He's only, what's weird is he looked 88 when this happened, and he's only 88 now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know what that says to me, though? He was definitely, he grew up a bear wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Steve Ballmer owns that team now, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I bought it for $2.5 billion.
That's a deal.
Yeah, sure is.
For an LA sports franchise that no one cares about.
Sure is, my man.
Yeah.
And they're about to get their own, they don't want to play in Staples Center anymore. So they're going to have their own arena. Good luck with
that. Why? How about you win a title before you take something away from the Lakers?
I think it's the real estate, me personally, because the city ends up paying for half of it and then the team pays for the other half. I just think they want to own the real estate. That's what makes them
probably.
Most
sense. Where are they building it? Is it in Watts or some shit? I mean, they seem to go into some fucking war torn area and build every time.
Very close. It's going to be in Inglewood. I heard very close to the Rams Stadium, so they'll end up nuking out some more black neighborhoods.
They need to move back to San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego Clippers, that's got a ring to it.
Look, L.A., that's what they do, man. Chavez Ravine was all the Mexican neighborhoods.
Yep.
Now they're taking out. It's just what they do.
Yeah. Well, it's what whites do.
Yeah, which, by the way, was my favorite thing to point out when they were talking shit on the Braves, like L.A. sports writers were talking shit on the Braves' name in the chop last year. You know, because it's essentially like they're talking shit on stealing Native American imagery, and the whole thing is, of course, we stole their land, blah, blah. I'm like,
yeah,
where do you play?
The Braves moved to a white neighborhood and stole their land.
Yes.
Sure did.
They took one back.
Sure did.
We did.
So, yeah. You know. So good on them.
Yeah.
Good on them. Rob, we appreciate you being on today. Now is the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. You've given out a couple in the past. One was your dad. One was your brother. Who would you like to give it to now? Who helps with this podcast on your side?
I get to nominate a drinking bro of the week on the spot like that.
Yeah, you sure do. Your wife has been helping out with the show. Maybe you want to give it to her.
I want to nominate Jessica Lynn O'Neill as the drinking bro of the week. She, I met her at a speech that I gave. We've been married 6 years this month. And I met her at an event. I'm going to need to get her permission to tell the story, but I believe I met her because she said to someone else the word "step aside, bitch." I'm going to 100% need her permission for that story. But yeah, let's make her, because yeah, she's awesome. She's been instrumental in everything in my life. But yeah, with this podcast, she really wanted to push it. She appreciates my sense of humor. She knows when to put me in check, but occasionally says, "You're kind of smart about shit. Maybe you should talk a little more on the internet, a little less around the house type stuff. So yeah, Jessica Lynn O'Neill. Jessica O'Neill.
That's hilarious. Who is the bitch? Do you know?
Like who? I probably fabricated the entire thing. It was she was actually hosting an event that I went to speak to her company. She actually didn't want me there. She wanted to hire the guy, the movie Catch Me If You Can, Abagnale, was based on. And her boss said, we're not hiring a con man for a leadership thing. So I met her that way. But my story has turned into something else.
Yeah, that's great, though. That's a great fucking story. My God, man.
Yeah, I'll get her on to tell her side of it, too. We'll do that for sure.
Perfect. Perfect. Sounds good. And we'll see you, what, 3 weeks? No, a month.
No, it's a month and a half.
Yeah, a month and a half at your event. Tell everybody about your event, your annual charity golf event.
Well, we've got a golf event at Old Hickory Country Club in right outside Nashville, Tennessee. And we started it there. It's owned by my friend Steve Smith, who owns Tootsie's. And then he opened this golf course. It's just cool because it's not like hoity-toity and tuck your pants in. And, you know, he doesn't give a shit if you show up in jeans and no shoes. It just turned into the cool golf club around Nashville. A lot of fun people go there. John Daly plays there a lot. Kid Rock plays there. Run into Randy Houser, Lee Bryce, and all that shit. And they'll probably be for this event. I can't promise. So I golfed with Johnny Damon last year, who was one of the coolest motherfuckers I've met. Funny as shit. So we go out there. My foundation is Special Operators Transition Foundation, transitioning special operators to the private sector. So we raise money out there. A lot of veterans are there. A lot of spec op guys. A lot of fun dudes. And just, you know, you guys are there. Your hole's always the most fun. Because you can have a couple cocktails, put a microphone on someone's face, say some ridiculous shit. Always a good time. So I think that's around September, that Monday, what, the 25th?
25th and 6th, I think.
Yeah. So that's fun. And it's just a kick-ass place. A lot of good people. I love Tennessee. It's a great spot.
I like when you say your hole is always the most fun.
Yeah.
It is. Well.
There it is.
Oh, wait a minute. You guys were on a hole?
Yeah. No. It's around the
your
back.
Your hole is the most fun.
Around the old back, friend. Last but not least here, because some of the audience is asking, we made a bet with the Full Send podcast. And I said, hey, dude, we'll do a beer pong tournament against you guys for charity, for your charity. I was unaware. Somebody said in the chat that they gave you a truck.
Yeah, I went there when my friend Bob Menery was a part of the Full Send. And we did a podcast with Donald Trump Jr. And it was just talking about current events and whatnot. Then Bob Menery and I went out boozing because we're done for the day. We were, you know, we're not drinking on the podcast. We have a couple cocktails for the course of the day. And they finally said, hey, these dudes are showing up. Steve will do it showing up. And they got something to show you. And we went outside and they said, hey, you like this truck? And I'm, you know, so yeah, I love this truck. Well, it's yours. I'm like, I really didn't know who those guys were. They had some rappers with them and shit. I thought they were fucking with me. And now they gave me a damn truck. I thought it was dope.
No shit. Cool. What was the truck, by the way?
It's just a kick-ass truck. I gotta look into the details of it. I don't want to fuck it up. But they got a dealership in Florida. They shipped it out to Tennessee. It was awesome.
What was it, like a Ford, Tacoma? Like, what was it?
Like I said, it's one of the, it's an American made truck. I don't want to get into it just yet, but if you look at the,
worried about those 87,000 IRS agents now, aren't you, Rob?
It can be anything. Anybody who wants it can be that truck.
Yeah. They don't start the agents don't start till next year. Well, shit, no, I guess that's when it kicks in.
As far as sponsorship goes, I'm sure my good friends at EOTech would like that truck.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. But Menery left. He's no longer a part of the podcast. Yeah, I just heard that like 48 hours ago.
Yeah, he went off on his own. He sounds fine. He's a buddy of mine. He's awesome. Funny as shit. And, you know, he's always doing different. You know, he went from living in his car outside of a comedy joint to turning in these funny ass, you know, Fabriga type shit and then getting podcasts and whatnot. So he's doing his own thing now. Awesome.
Good for them, man. Yeah, those Full Send guys have some fucking money. My God, dude.
Oh, they're killing it. And like I said, that was the first time I met them. I've known Menery for a while. And it's just anytime anyone with a legit personality makes money based on their talents, I think it's awesome. And I've never really had a bad experience with any of these dudes. I know they get a little cocky. And I think eventually someone's going to talk a little too much shit to either a UFC fighter or their trainer. But hey, that's just good biz.
It is. And speaking of which,
it worked for Jim Rome, right?
Well, and dude,
Chris Everett knocked his ass out, right?
The rumor was, and you can confirm Dr. this Everett. With Bob. Jim Everett. But
he punched me for that shit.
Exactly. But the rumor was that Bob or one of the Full Send crew was the one who called Jorge Masvidal when Colby Covington got knocked out, because they were at the table together. That's where he was eating with those guys. Okay. I don't know the story, though. Do you?
I really don't. And the only things I would know would be from hearsay. So I don't want to, you know, I don't know what happened. You know, obviously anything can happen and someone's got an opinion and this is how it happened. It, you know, from memory, it sounds fine and everybody else, but I don't know anything.
Okay. Yeah. The reason I bring it up, Jorge Masvidal was on the show last week, but his internet was dog shit. So we didn't get to do the full show. He's going to come in studio.
Jorge Masvidal would know. And I've never met him, but he seems like a fucking cool dude.
He was a great guest. We'll see how he is in real life when he comes out here. But
if I meet him in real life, whatever he wants to hear, I'll tell him. He's good. Another guy that, if he wants, can knock you the fuck out.
Exactly.
He actually beat up his kid on camera. So that was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. He beat his 7-year-old.
To be fair, the kid was trying to sort of fight with him the entire goddamn interview.
Well, then sometimes you got to knock a little kid out, right?
Yeah. I've said that for years.
And if it's your own, nobody's going to say anything, so who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, Rob. Everybody out there, please go and download, subscribe to The Operator with Rob O'Neill. It is live on all platforms, iTunes, Spotify. You know the drill. Rate and review it. Give it a 5-star and leave a quick review. That's what the advertisers care about. That's what they want to see. Welcome to this world, Rob.
Thank you.
The video will be on our channel here every single Wednesday. For Rob O'Neill, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.